Seven Weddings, Seven Funerals. I'll always remember a particular haircut that I got at Marilyn's house. She'd been cutting my hair every 5 weeks for 10 years, and our hour together was always filled with getting caught up with each other as my ever-graying hair dropped to the floor. Marilyn also has her doctorate in psychology and a private practice in that field. She cut hair for longtime clients and friends on Mondays so we could stay in touch. On one particular day, I was telling Marilyn about the number of clients that I'd been working with who were experiencing deep fatigue. We all have such full lives. I include myself in the club of people who know of a tiredness that's not solvable with a few good nights of sleep. I remarked that the years had been filled with many great events for me: getting married, building a house, building our company, traveling far and wide, going on great vacations. But even though it had been a wonderful period of time, the corresponding fatigue was present too. Marilyn commented, quote, "The body doesn't know the difference between seven weddings and seven funerals." I sat up abruptly in the chair, knocking the comb out of her hand, and exclaimed, "What? Say that again?" She repeated the sentence more slowly for her now fully awake client. Ever since then, I've been categorizing things as funeral or wedding, and noting their similar effects on my body, good stress and bad stress. I remember in high school learning about Hans Selye's research about stress. Remember that? Stress and eustress, I think he called it. And one kind was actually good for you and the other was not. His research was published pre-internet and cell phones and 24/7 access to everything and everyone. This stress underlies every wedding and funeral situation in our lives. Besides the impact on bodies of the weddings equals funerals concept, it's fascinating to contemplate from a perspective of attachment. We tend to get more positively attached to the things that we call good in our lives: the great news, vacations, the perfectly poured Guinness on St. Patrick's Day, happy times. We like them to last as long as possible. But we prefer to have not so wonderful things last a very short amount of time: illness, heartache, conflict. We'd rather get over these quickly, or make them go away in general. Move on. Things will be better in the morning, we'll say. And yet, if the body doesn't discern funeral or wedding, and instead it registers demand or extend or engage or energize or whatever else is being called for from the body, then attachment to good things seems kind of crazy, don't you think? If the long-term demand on the body, through good or bad times, registers the same result, say deep fatigue, then why would we only get attached to the good things? It has the Zen practice of non-attachment make sense from a somatic equanimity perspective. Somatic equanimity means that engagement with life registers in the body no matter the source, a funeral or a wedding. So I started reflecting on my work with clients. Clients experience a great deal of change in their lives when they're engaged in an integral coaching program. The work always enables significant transformation in a client's life. In that regard, it's part of the good side of the equation, the yummy, make it last and last side of life's feast. And still, I look at the possible lack of differentiation somatically between weddings and funerals over the long term, and I wonder, maybe clients need more rest. Not just the rest needed during a period of integration that follows a coaching program, but rest that should be scheduled all the way through a coaching program. For even when clients are experiencing wonderful changes in their lives, they need to let their bodies integrate after bringing about such transformations. How do we hold the positive changes as somatically no different than negative changes in that they both demand something from the body? The body has exerted, and so it's important to ensure that your client rests. quote, "Yes, I propose a new practice for you, dear client, over the next 2 weeks. It's called a rest practice because so many fabulous things have been happening in your life. You need to take a rest." Of course, taking time to rest in the midst of a fantastic period can seem counterintuitive, but the more I think about it, the more necessary it feels. I remember a phone conversation with a long-term beloved client who told me that he was having a null and void day. "I have been taking a lot of naps," he said. I replied, "Great, good plan. Those 7 weddings wore him out." So here's a practice for you. Yes, this is for you right now. Have a rest. Take a nap. Go lie down. Okay, just put your head on your desk or just close your eyes for a minute. No one will see you. It's been such a great 6 minutes. Go have a rest.